Coddersill's kickoff. This is Radio City Talk.
Incredible piece of history made, of course, at the weekend by Lewis Hamilton, who's won a fourth world title. And how many more is there to come for him? Let's have a chat with Sky Sports and, of course, top motorsport correspondent Tony Jardine. Morning, Tony.
How are you?
Very good. Thank you for your company. How do you rate this achievement by Lewis?
Very special indeed. If you look at the first half of the season, which was pretty poor by his standards, you know, whether it was mechanical problems or certainly overweight problems, if you look at the car early in the year, he was having to compensate for the fact that it was a much heavier car. If you remember his fantastic dice with Vettel in Spain, when he was talking on the radio, he was absolutely breathless. He was putting so much physical effort in. I think people should also remember that the car was called a Diva by the Mercedes team. Some tracks, it's fantastic, but on a lot of the slower tracks, it just couldn't get any temperature into its tyres whatsoever. And it was really, really poor. So, you know, he's made the difference, and he's gone up two pegs this year. His driving and, of course, his whole countenance has been very different. He's at a very high level now.
I suppose you've got to remember with these F1 drivers, they've got to be at such a physical and mentally supreme level, haven't they? And yeah, the margins at the very top, how small are they between these drivers?
Well, they're tiny. I mean, tenths are quite big, but thousandths of a second separated in qualifying is the norm. But also, he relished the fact that the challenge had come from another team. You know, the challenge was no longer inside his team of him versus Rosberg, and him versus Rosberg turned very, very toxic indeed. In fact, Toto Wolff, the Mercedes F1 boss, had said that it was like when the two of them were in the room together, it was like a hurricane in the room. But Rosberg, you know, he played the psychological game, and he had to harden everything up last year, which meant not letting Lewis through, resulting in collisions like in Spain in 2016. But he eventually won the championship. But Lewis has come out now and said, look, it really wasn't enjoyable at all, and I'm glad to be away from that. But the challenge of taking on Ferrari and taking on Vettel, a four times champion, he's risen to that and said, you know, bring it on right from the very start. And that's what's made the season so special in many ways. I suppose it's a bit of a pity that we're not going down to the wire, but at the same time, you know, he's sewn it up and Ferrari melted in the end and capitulated.
So you mentioned that Rosberg-Lewis Hamilton relationship or non-relationship. Have you been in their company, Tony, when they've been together or not?
Yes, I was with them in Malaysia with Petronas last year with both of them, and obviously at British Grand Prix where we're heavily involved with Lewis Hamilton behind stage and on stage in the post-race concert. You get time to chat to both of them. I mean, given that they were teammates since 11 years of age as Carters, young Carters, it's quite a difficult relationship because as kids they got on pretty well, but as competitors they've kind of been forced together, particularly in the same team. And, you know, after 2 years, especially two seasons of 14 and 15 of Rosberg being beaten up by Hamilton, you decided to really get tough. But they don't get on. They still don't get on. I mean, even in the post-championship quotes, Hamilton has said, look, I'm not going to just run away from the sport like Rosberg did. I'm going to stay around. I still love it. So he's even having a dig at him then.
It doesn't let up. What's the future for Lewis? He's 32? I thought he was slightly younger. 32 years old. So has he reached his optimum level, or how much more is there to come from him?
Well, this is his 11th season. He's only 32. It seems that he's been around for a long time, you know, since 2007 when he literally exploded onto the scene and nearly took the world championship, only lost it by one point in his first season. But I would say right now he really is at his zenith, and I think he can maintain that for another three or four seasons. But of course, like all the top drivers, you know, the challenges come along. And with Senna, it was Schumacher. With Schumacher, it was Alonso, you know. And with Hamilton, you have to read Max Verstappen, who is just absolutely fantastic. And he's steeling himself for that. He's ready for it. And you're going to have the master versus the young pretender next year, potentially, if Red Bull get that car right early on. And certainly if Renault step up to the plate and have a decent engine, then it's going to be a fantastic battle.
So there might be a great battle to look out for. Is Lewis the greatest of all time, British-wise?
Certainly in terms of the Brits, I would say that, because I've thought about this long and hard, and everyone's got their own opinions on this, where the top drivers are. And in the overall pantheon, I've still got Fangio at the top and then Senna, and I've got Hamilton in the top five. But he's vying with Clark in terms of the best British driver. If in terms of results, having beaten Jackie Stewart, who had three championships and 27 wins, he's certainly got it in terms of results. But there's no doubt in my mind that he's such a special, naturally gifted driver with incredible spatial awareness, incredible feel for the car in all conditions. And I think the big key to it is this season, with a difficult car, having, you know, dragged it by the scruff of the neck and done what he's done, just shows what a class act he is. So British drivers, for me, he's up there with Clark, but it would still be Clark and then Hamilton and then Jackie Stewart.
Has he got the credit he deserves? I still get this feeling that maybe the British public don't love him as much as they should do for what he's achieved.
No, they don't. And he is a little bit Marmite in that respect. But again, thought about this from the early days, particularly in the early days where we sort of filmed him and followed him when he was in Formula 3 and so on. By the time he got into McLaren, he had to toe the corporate line, and he was saying what he had to say and doing what he had to do. And he didn't have a youth at all, because, you know, he was racing, you know, from the age of 8. He just didn't have a youth at all. And so it's only in the last 3 years that he's starting to become his own man, look after his own management. He's got his own small management team. But you think about those early days, he became a tax exile. You know, his trips backwards and forwards across to America, red carpet stuff and hanging out with the stars and everything. That doesn't go down particularly well with the British public. Some of them like it, some of them don't like it. But what they do all love, you know, is his talent and his style. And the great thing is he tells it like it is. You know, if you don't like my fashion sense, or you don't like how I conduct my life, fine, great. That's not my problem. He's fit. He's up for the job. You know, like this year, he's become a vegan and thinks that's really improved his whole health. But he's gone from having big agency support, lots of management around him, to a very small, tight-knit team, Team Hamilton, Team 44, if you like. You just look after him. And he calls the shots. And since Rosberg's departed, by his own admission, he's in a very, very happy place. And he's performed brilliantly.
Have you enjoyed this season, Tony? Has it given you the sort of highs and lows and the drama you want out of F1?
Oh, absolutely. No question. You just look at the wet qualifying at Monza, the performance that he put on there. You know, look at the start, the drama of the start at Singapore, where the Ferraris hit each other and took out Verstappen. I mean, the races at Monte Carlo with the Ferrari 1-2, it's just been a great season. 2016 was great, went down to the wire. And this season's been tremendous. So I think it bodes very, very well for 2018, because it'll be the second season of the new regulations. And they're working very, very well. You know, the cars look aggressive. They've got more power, slightly more noise, but still a great season.
I believe he's obviously got a big challenge ahead of him. I believe you've got a big challenge ahead of yourself, Tony, in the coming months. Come on, tell us, what are you doing motorsport-wise?
Yeah. It's a massive motorsport challenge. It's Europe's toughest classic car rally called Le Jog, and it's run by Hero Events, who run classic car rallies throughout the world, really, and some of the the big ones, you know, like Winter Challenge and Rally of Tests, which starts next week, which is like the old RAC rally used to be. And this is like, it's going to go from Land's End to John O'Groats, the hard way. But the challenge is on because I'm actually at Hero's offices at the moment and negotiating, hopefully, to get into this event. So it's kind of won't be announced until we've done the deal. But it's 4 days, it's 3 nights, it's nearly 1,500 miles. You've got to keep up these average speeds over these stages, and then you've got to go into these tests. You know, and these things go on through the night. When you get about halfway through the country, taking the hard route up the west coast, if you like, of the whole country, yeah. You get to the Lake District, you've still got 48 hours to run without sleep to get right up to the top of Scotland. You know, you're driving over little mountain passes, lanes, roads. So the smallest, tightest, most challenging route they will find for you could be ice, snow, all sorts of things. So it's going to be a massive challenge like it used to be. If it comes off, we're hoping to announce it in the next 10 days or so. Honestly, it's going to be, my biggest ever motorsport challenge. So quite excited, and hopefully we can get it across the line.
I tell you what, Land's End to John O'Groats sounds fine until you actually throw in Snowdonia, the Lake District, and the rest of it, doesn't it,
well,
Tony?
Well, exactly. But I, what I'd also say is, you, because I know there's a lot of fans out there that listen and follow it and watch and so on, but if they go onto heroevents.eu, onto the website, there's not only some brilliant photographs, which are very evocative of classic car rallying, but there's some fantastic video on there, and they can also find out where the event goes, because there's certain places where they can catch up, you know, with the cars and the teams. And there's teams coming from as far apart as Australia. There's a navigator from the United States of America, a lot of European teams, as you know, and they range from like a 1958 VW to a 70s Porsche 911, all rally prepared. So it's going to be amazing.
You should have local knowledge. There should be no trouble there for you, Tony. No excuse. First across the line.
Unfortunately, it's not going through the Mersey Tunnel, at least ways I don't think so.
Look, I hope that comes off, and as soon as you know, please do let us know.
I will let you know, yes, we will.
Thank you very much, Tony. Great to chat this morning.
Yeah, thanks, Steve.
Top man. Tony Jardine, F1 correspondent for Sky Sports and many others around the world.
The kickoff on Radio City Talk, your one stop for Merseyside sport. This is Radio City Talk.